Let's listen to God's word. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Verse 6, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Verse 9, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first ones who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty, and you can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. This is God's word. Could you pray with me? Well, now, good and gracious God, in these moments, on this morning, in this space, among your family, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts here in this place be acceptable and pleasing unto you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Here are your faithful people, Lord, that you have called to worship this morning. Here, by your grace, by your call alone, you've invited them. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening this morning. May we see your Son, Jesus Christ, lifted high and exalted on this morning. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Turn to your neighbor this morning and ask them, how much money do I need to be generous? How much money do we need to be generous? We've asked so many questions in this series. How does God take care of us? What do I do with my money? Was one of the questions that we've asked. And I heard somebody say, you can just give it to me. I'll tell you what to do with your money. Just give it to me. Now we're asking the question, how much money do I need, do you need to be generous? When you think of a generous person, or when you think of, what's that word, philanthropist, say it with me. Bless you. It sounds like it's a mouthful. When you think of that, what do you think of? When you think of a generous person, when you think of a philanthropist, when you think of a, here's another word, a donor, and I'm not talking about an organ donor, but I'm talking about a financial donor or a giver. What do you think of? What's the first thing that comes into your mind? Money. Yeah, that's so great. Maybe you think of someone who's wealthy. Maybe you think of someone who, you know, has a lot of stuff left over. Maybe you think of someone who's got a lot of stuff in their garage or in their storage unit. And so then they open their storage unit and they say, here you go. Here's a lamp and here's a desk and here's a chair and here's a cushion. I don't know where the sofa is, but here's a cushion. Just take it. Maybe you think of someone who has a lot of stuff, whether it's material possessions or whether it's money in the bank, or it's a large savings account. Maybe that's what you think of when you think of a generous giver, or when you think of a donor, or when you think of a, here's that word again, a philanthropist. Maybe you think of someone who's got so much that they just want to give it all away. I'd like to submit today that that is actually a false image of a generous person. That's actually a false image of a generous person. That's actually a false image of a philanthropist. So, what's the answer to the question? How much money do I need to be generous? Let me hear you say, what's the answer, Pastor? Okay, only one, two people want to hear the answer this morning. I love it. Here's the answer. How much money do you need? You don't need much. It turns out you don't really need a lot to give a lot. You don't need a lot to be generous. All you really need is God. Turns out all we really need is God. You know that. That's the answer that you've been hearing since you were 3 years old in Sunday school at VBS. It turns out that you don't need all these things to be a generous person. All you really need is God. So go ahead and answer your neighbor. Say, all you need is God. All you need is God. You know, I loved hearing the story. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, I think it was, there was a large revival at Asbury Seminary up in Kentucky. Wilmington, I think, Kentucky. You guys remember that? There was a revival that broke out at this campus. And I loved hearing, the more stories I heard about that, I was so impressed. Because the person who preached that day, I don't even think that person was scheduled to preach. I don't even think this person was prepared to preach. I think this person, if I remember correctly, this person walked off and said that was the worst sermon that I've ever preached. And that's probably the worst sermon these college students, these seminary students, will ever hear. The music wasn't that great. There wasn't lights. There wasn't smoke machines. There wasn't a large choir that gave everybody the feels and the vibes, as the young people like to say. And I remember somebody saying, it turns out that all you really need to have a revival, you don't need great music, you don't need an eloquent speaker. It turns out that all you really need to have a revival is God. Can you imagine that? That sometimes we think we need all these things. X, Y, Z, A, B, C. We think we need all these things in order to have a revival, but it turns out that the only thing we really need to have a revival is God. And in the same way, I'd like to submit, beloved, that the only thing that we actually really need to be generous, to be lovers of humanity, which is what philanthropy actually means, that the only thing we actually need is God. It's God's grace working in us. And I share that because so often we hear people say things like, well, brother, I wish I could give, but God knows my heart and he knows my wallet is empty. My pockets are empty right now. I'd like to show you very briefly what Paul was encountering in the letter in the Corinthian church. Just a little bit of history. Paul had planted several churches when he was active in his ministry. One of those churches was in Macedonia. As Paul was planting these churches, there was a severe famine, the scholars tell us. A severe famine. People were going hungry in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. So Paul, he sees himself responsible for all of these churches. And he goes to the Macedonian church and he says, hey guys, you guys are the Macedonian church right here. He says, hey guys, the people in Jerusalem over here are hungry. You guys are the Jerusalem church, all right? Can you guys? Yeah. He says, guys, you Macedonians, the people in Jerusalem are hungry. I'm going to collect an offering so that we can give them money so they can eat. And right here in the middle, sorry, guys, you guys are the Corinthians. All right. Everybody say, oh, man, come on. Corinthians right here. You Corinthians. Well, the Macedonians were eager. Let me show you your eagerness over here. All right. Great. Very eager. I love it. The Corinthians were also eager. Let me see your eagerness. All right. Great. And you guys, sorry, you guys are also happy because you guys are getting help. You guys are getting help. So what ended up happening was that the Macedonians, they gave and gave and gave. Did you read that? Let me read you verse 1 and 2 again. I want you to know what God in his kindness did through the Macedonian churches. Here's what you guys did. Though they were being tested by many troubles, and though they are very poor, they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. And so they gave. You Corinthians, you guys said, yeah, we're going to give, we're going to give. But then they stopped giving. Sorry, guys, you stopped giving. You did not finish the task. I want both sides to look at the middle and say, finish the job. I love the hand motions going on over here. Come on, finish up. This is what's happening in this chapter, friends. This is what's happening in this chapter. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And he is saying, our Jerusalem friends, they need food. They need food. And you guys started to give, but you stopped. But you stopped. Now, I want you to see, going back to you Macedonians over here, I want you to see that the Macedonians were extremely poor. And not only were they extremely poor, they were also going through severe trials. Some people say that they were experiencing persecution. And I think this is why Paul is saying that it was God's grace at work in them. Nothing else could explain their generosity except for the grace of God working in their lives. That's all. That's all. Did you see that? They didn't give because they had so much money that they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't give because all was well in their life. No, they were experiencing severe persecution. They were undergoing severe trials. And yet, they gave. This is something that only God can do. Only God opens our hands. Only God can open our eyes to see the need that is around us. It all comes from God, friends. It all comes from God. Perhaps you've heard the story of Mother Teresa, who talks about she visited a village one day, and she went to a home, and she noticed that the people there were hungry. So she went into that home, and she brought them food. I think she brought them some rice. And when the people in that home, in that house, got the rice, immediately they looked around. And one of them got up and left the house. And Mother Teresa said, Where'd that person go? And the rest of the people in the house said, they're going to give it to the person across the village because they are also hungry. Mother Teresa was impressed. And she later goes on to say this. She said, I wasn't impressed because they were generous. She said, poor people are very, very generous. They're some of the most generous people that you will meet. She said, I was impressed that they actually knew that someone else in that village was also hungry. And then she goes on to say this. Many times when we're suffering, the only people that we can think about is ourselves. Many times when we need something, it closes our eyes to the needs of everyone else. This is why, friends, I say that generosity is a gift from God. Only God can open our eyes. Only God can open our hands so that we might give and see the needs that are around us. I don't know if you know this, friends, but many times the people who are the most generous are the people who have the least. Is there anybody here who knows that today? I have been blessed by God to be able to see that firsthand in this church. Praise the Lord. And I want to share that as an encouragement, as something that edifies you. I have been so blessed to see in our own congregation people who don't have much and yet they are giving so much more than many of us who have. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? The people who don't have much are oftentimes the people who give the most. I have heard, some of you guys have told me, that in the history of our church, at one point, our church, yes, our little church, as some of you guys love, affectionately call it, our little church isn't so little because we have a spirit of generosity that at one point outgave many of the other churches in our city, even the so-called bigger churches in our city. Some of you guys, I've heard that from some of you guys. Sister Stella, I think I heard that from you. That at one point in our church, we were giving more. We were giving more. And this is evidence of God's grace. This is evidence of God's grace, of God's power at work among us and through us. This is what's happening in the Macedonian church. Friends, I love how Paul describes it. Can you imagine this? They said, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift
to the Jerusalem believers.
Can I see you guys begging to give? Let me see your big. Okay, great. I love that. Please let us give. Please. Man, that is every development officer's dream. Every fundraiser's dream, to have somebody knocking on their door saying, I want to give. That is evidence of God at work. That is evidence of God at work. In their hearts. In their hearts. Why? Verse 5. They did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord, and then to us. And then to us. So Paul was surprised by their generosity. And then Paul realized, oh, yeah, it's because everything that they had, they surrendered it to the Lord. Surrendered it to the Lord. As we keep going in verse 7, there's a hinge here. And Paul says, you too can excel in this generosity. You too can do this. So I want the left and the right side, point to the Corinthians. Say, you too can do this. You too can do this, you all. You too. Paul says, look, friends, your generosity is not dependent on how much you have. Your generosity is not dependent on your strength, your willpower. Your generosity is not dependent on your strategery. Your generosity is not dependent on any of these things. Your generosity is dependent on the grace of God, which God has already given you. The grace of God, which is already working among you. You excel in all of these things, friends. God's already at work in you. So now, open your hands, open your hearts. You too can excel in this grace. Let's look at verse 8. Let's keep going. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of other churches. Paul is very careful to say, look, friends, this is not a command. I'm not commanding you to give this. This is an opportunity. This is an invitation to actually see if your love is real. If your love is real. Is your heart really full of love? I shared a couple of weeks ago, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that passage in Matthew where Jesus talks about the eye. And he talks about generosity. Do you remember that? And we talked about why is that passage tucked in there? So seems so random. And we talked about how sometimes it's very difficult to see if we're actually being generous. That if you took a poll right now, if you just went and stood outside the door and you asked everybody who was leaving church this morning, are you stingy? Are you stingy? Are you stingy? I can guarantee you, with the exception of one person, I can guarantee you that everybody would say, no, I'm not stingy. I'm not envious. I'm not envious. Those wealthy people up there in the 1%, those guys are stingy. But me, I'm not stingy. Why? Because we can always point to someone else who has more than us. In our world of massive economic inequality, we can always point to someone who has more. And nobody thinks that they're stingy. Nobody thinks that they're envious. Nobody. Because we can always say, no. So I think this is what Paul is doing here. He is saying, look, friends, I want to test your love. I want to test your generosity to actually see, so that you can actually see if you actually are being generous or not. Look around to your friends. Look around to your church. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing. And then he compares their generosity with the generosity of Christ himself. Verse 9, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Friends, why do we give? Why are we generous? Why do we open our hearts? Why do we open our hands? Because there's been someone who's already opened their heart to us. Because there's been someone who's already opened their hands to us. There's someone who not only opened their hands, they opened their arms on the cross. This person opened his arms on the cross. And on the cross, he gave everything, everything that he had, including his own physical body, so that you might experience the riches of his grace, his forgiveness, his love. So that you would have every spiritual blessing bestowed upon you, as Ephesians says. We give because there was someone who already gave to us. And when we give, we are acting like sons and daughters of the Most High God. When we give, we are doing what is authentic. Can you say it with me? Authentic. That's a big word these days. Authentic. Authentic. Be real. Turn to your neighbor and say, be real, man. Just be real. Oh, man, that's a virtue these days. Authenticity. I just want to be real. I'd like to tell you this morning, friends, that the most real thing about you, I want to tell you who you really are. The most real thing about you is generosity. The most real thing about you is a loving heart. The most real thing about you is an open heart. The most real thing about you, the most real version of you is the person, is the you that stands with hands open, ready to give and ready to receive. That's the most real version of you, because you have been made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And you are being remade in his image every single day. That's the most real version of you. So we have no excuse to say, oh, I don't know if I just want to be real. I want to be authentic. And sometimes when I give, I'm just not feeling it. Sometimes if I give to that person, I'm just not feeling like I want to give to that person. So I'm just not going to give. Let me tell you, that other person doesn't care how you feel. They need you. They don't care about your authenticity. What they need is help in their hands. And you have love in your heart. That's the most real version of you. Good intentions aren't good enough. Say it with me. Good intentions aren't good enough. Oh, man. I am so blessed that Evie is my wife, because I think I fall more on the intention side and she falls more on the action side. Sometimes I intend to do good things, but I've been blessed with a wife who actually does them. Anybody blessed with a person like that in their life? A person that shows you that good intentions aren't good enough. No, I meant to do that. I meant to do it. Yeah. Can you imagine at the football game last night? Can you imagine? Just imagine for me at the football game last night. Let's just say it was tied. Let's just say that there was a flag on the play after Baylor won. Maybe they scored a touchdown and Baylor won. And there was a flag on the play, right? And then there's a review, like there always is these days, it seems like. There's a review. They go into the little box and they're looking. Yeah, guys, there's a flag on the play. There's a flag on the play, but I just want to tell everybody that he didn't mean to do it. I just spoke with the player. And they didn't mean to be offsides. Or they didn't mean to do a face mask. They didn't mean to be unnecessarily rough. They didn't mean to. Can you imagine
We would, the game was in Lubbock. We would hear it all the way in Waco. The outrage. Intentions are not enough, friends. The love of the Corinthians had grown cold. I'm sorry, guys. But the good news is that Paul was there to remind them of their faith, of who they were, to remind them that their good intentions were not good enough. Good actions are better than good intentions. Friends, this is the good news today, that God has given us everything that we need to be generous. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. God is giving you everything you need to be generous, because He's given you His grace. He's given you His Son. He's given you forgiveness and redemption and a heart that is open, a heart that is soft, a heart that can receive but also give. You have everything you need to be generous this morning. So maybe you're here and you're saying, well, I'll give when I have this much. Or I'll be generous when there's this much money in the bank. Or I'll be generous whenever my life is settled and at peace. I'm here to tell you that it's 2024. And I don't know if life is ever going to be settled and at peace. I don't know. I haven't lived for very long. But I will tell you that it doesn't seem like things are getting more peaceful and more settled. So if we wait for the right time to be the right sorts of people, we might wait forever. And we might wait way too long and miss out on the grace that God wants to give to you and wants to give through you, friends. Please don't miss out on it. Please don't miss out on it. God is opening your hands and He's opening your heart. Even right now, as you sit there listening, God is opening your heart. God is opening your hands. God is opening your eyes to see the needs around you. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that we've seen in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the testimony of faithful believers within this church, all around the world. The testimony that points to your work, to your grace, to your love. Oh God, grant us the grace to be generous. Grant us the gift of being generous with the things that you have given us, Father. Thank you for your faithful people. Lord, you know. You know what each heart on this morning is enduring and is going through, Father. And I first of all want to thank you for bringing them here. Thank you because you do not leave us alone. Grant us the grace, Lord, to join you in the work you're doing around us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.